part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
The time is 10:34 here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. This is Mid Morning Empowerment. My name is Uzinhle Wakwakambule, taking you through between the hours of 9 o'clock up until 12 o'clock here on Adventist World Radio. We do have Dr. Jerry from the Visa Clinic right on the line. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning, Zuzi.
How are you doing this morning?
Very well, thank you. And you?
I am very well, thank you. Without any waste of time, let's get into our conversation for today. We are looking at mental health awareness, obsessive compulsive disorder, and what is OCD. So today we begin by building a clear foundation. Obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD, is often misunderstood or used casually in everyday conversation, but it's a serious and often debilitating condition. Understanding what OCD truly is, how it's manifest, and the different form it can take, it is a critical step in awareness and support. Let's unpack the symptoms and the various subtypes that exist within complex disorder. So what does OCD actually involve, and how it is diagnosed?
Okay, OCD, it's important that it's an illness. You rightly say that it's a sort of, it's used to explain sort of normal behavior. Okay. So when you look at obsessive compulsive disorder, one of the diagnostic criteria is that it affects your functioning negatively. So people who are orderly and who like to have things in a neat way, very ordered, but it improves their functioning. That is not OCD.
Okay.
So you ask us, how do we diagnose it? It's with a clinical history taking.
Okay.
So it normally starts sort of either early teens or later in teens. You sometimes get it later in life, associated with trauma. For instance, what we saw now after the COVID pandemic with the extended lockdown, people developed OCD.
Mm.
So when you look at it, you have to have certain criteria to make the diagnosis. And most of these have to be present for at least 2 weeks. And it must cause distress and interfere with your normal daily living.
Mm.
So what people normally get is obsessional thoughts. So these are the person's own thoughts. And it can be either thought or an impulse. And then a person must try and resist the thought, but it must be unsuccessful.
Hmm.
The thought of carrying out the act mustn't be pleasurable. And the thoughts or the impulses must be unpleasantly repetitive. So the distress is very important. That does differentiate from normal detailed thinking. With the obsessional thoughts, you can also get what we call compulsions. So these are behaviors or rituals or acts that people tend to do on a repetitive manner. And they don't enjoy it. Normally when we have a normal activity and I complete it, I feel good about it. With OCD, I can complete the activity, but I don't feel good about it. And a lot of these behaviors can actually be quite pointless. So when I order my desk, one of the goals is to have it in a more orderly fashion and I can function better. With OCD is I have to have things in a certain place or a certain order, but there's no specific reason for that.
Right.
So what happens is that a person gets an obsessive thought or impulse, and that normally there's anxiety associated with that.
Right.
And then they act in a certain way to try and relieve the anxiety. And when they do that kind of ritual, they get very short-lived relief. But it doesn't stop the thoughts.
Right. And how do obsessions and compulsions differ in the context of OCD?
Well, most people have obsessional thoughts, if I understand your question correctly there.
Right.
And some small minority will have compulsions, so just behaviors on their own.
Okay.
Normally, you have more that combination of having obsessional thoughts with compulsions associated with them. So people can just have thoughts and not act on the thoughts.
Right, right. And what are the most common subtypes of OCD, such as contamination, symmetry, or intrusive thoughts?
So the intrusive thoughts are part of that's the obsessional thinking. And the most common presentations is around cleanliness.
Okay.
So there's often a fear of contamination, or there's a fear of something bad happening to either myself or to other people I love. And then from that, I start acting in a way to try and prevent that fear. It's like with contamination, if I have a fear of infection, you know, the thoughts are around being contaminated, then I avoid shaking hands or people wash their hands repetitively. Or they avoid picking up groceries. So it's all around trying to avoid that fearful activity or incident to happen.
And can a person have more than one subtype of OCD at the same time?
Yeah. So they can have a fear of contamination. And at the same time, maybe they can have a fear that God might do something bad to them. And they have to act in a certain way to try and avoid that bad thing happening to them.
Right.
You must remember, OCD is a brain disorder. And when our brain becomes sick, it can't create something new. It takes what's in our brain and normally gives it an abnormal meaning. So whatever we are exposed to can sort of be taken up by the illness and then given an abnormal meaning or an abnormal fear.
And what are some ways to help someone with OCD manage their symptoms?
It's understanding that you are a whole person. When we have a problem, we tend to focus on the small problem.
Right.
When we look at the treatment of a chronic condition, and that means any condition that's there that for longer than 3 months. We look at the physical side of a person, the emotional side, the social, and the spiritual side. So the physical side is looking at routine, diet, sleep, exercise, and then at medication as well.
Right.
On an emotional level, that tends to be very dominant in OCD. There we look at our fears, maybe traumas that happened to us that might have triggered the OCD. We look at anxiety management, stress management. And then on a social level, we look at our family support, our friends, social interaction, finances, and hobbies. And then on a spiritual level, there you look at your view of God and how your faith is practically helping you feel safe. And how you use the promises from the Bible and your spiritual community to pray for you and to support you. What we find often, especially on the spiritual side, is that spiritual communities want to pray people into health. And they struggle to understand sometimes that an illness is chronic. So the prayer need is different. It's not prayer for health, for healness in itself. It's also prayer for endurance and for safety and security and for wisdom. So when you look at that whole picture, if I'm very tired, my obsessional thoughts are more. So I can focus on getting a better sleep routine, and that can help a lot. Same with my diet. If I'm not eating well, by improving my diet and having a healthy diet, my body's got energy. And if I have energy, I can resist the obsessions and the compulsions much better. If my family understands that this is an illness, then they can help and support me. And on the emotional side, if I understand that I'm struggling with anxiety, I can learn how to deal with anxiety better. It's non-specific to OCD. It's just generalized. But the more self-confidence I have in anxiety management, stress management, the easier or the better I manage my obsessional compulsion disorder.
Thank you so much, my brother, for that. And why is it important to recognize the lesser known forms of OCD?
We all come from a normal perspective when we look at life.
Okay.
And if I have a disorder and I'm trying to manage it like it's normal, I'm putting a stressor on myself that I'm not managing properly. If I understand my problem is an illness, I tend to be less judgmental of myself. And I manage myself more appropriately. Because it's quite sad to see people suffer when they've got an illness instead of just being with that illness and learning to live with the illness.
All right. And the last question before I let you go, Doctor. How can we reduce stigma around OCD? Okay, let me put two of these questions. How can we reduce stigma around OCD? And how does therapy, such as exposure and response prevention, help with OCD?
Okay, so stigma, the definition is a negative emotional reaction or perspective on a subject. So the more we educate each other and the more we have conversations in our, you know, in each and every culture, the more we develop words for these things. And then once we can name it, we can manage it. One of the big problems we identify here at Vista is that a lot of the African languages don't have words for these kind of illnesses. And the conversation in the different cultures needs to happen about how do we name this? How do we create a new word or new words to be able to define this as an illness, and then we can manage it differently. Your second question about the exposure response prevention, it's a cognitive behavioral therapy. And if you break that down into small pieces, the cognitive is what I think. Behavioral is what I do. And then there's a feeling component as well to that. So what they've just done there, they've looked at how do I respond to an obsessional thought?
Right.
And what are the compulsions to that? And what are the feelings associated with that thought and the compulsion? And then learning how to react differently to a specific trigger or to having an obsession, feeling anxious and uncomfortable, but not reacting to that.
Oh. Right. Thank you so much, my doctor, for such a powerful and beautiful and effective conversation, right? Until tomorrow, thank you so much. But before I let you go, can you close with a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we've got the ability to have a discussion about the complexity of us as humans and the frailty around us, Father. I pray that you'll give us wisdom and guidance so that we can support each other and ourselves in developing our relationship with you despite our shortcomings. And we thank you for your grace for us, Father. Amen.
Amen and amen. Until next time, goodbye, my doctor.
Thank you very much. Have a lovely day.
You too. All right, to our listeners at home, that was our doctor coming from the Vista Clinic, Dr. Jerry. He was talking to us about mental health awareness, obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.